I don't want someone that's bad at texting. Yeah. If they're a Neanderthal on the text, f*** off. The horniest I've ever been in my entire life. And you're fighting every other past its sell-by date twink in London. Yeah. There is a world where I'm a furry.
Uh-huh, yeah.
For sure. You're going to break my heart over pasta.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like sobbing into my burrata. No, thank you.
Hi, it's Pip Rasmussen here. Dee Salmon, my co-host, is normally with me on a Tuesday podcast, but she's not here. She's promoting her book on tour. So I've brought in a very, very special guest all the way from London. I have with me Daniel Fox.
Hello. So nice to be here.
Yes, it's so good to have you. So let me tell people a little bit about you, or you can as well. Mm-hmm. You're a comedian. You're a podcaster.
Yes.
What else do you do?
I write musical theatre.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Wait, I didn't know that.
No, people do. I should advertise it more, but I think I've sort of hit a decent amount of gay publicly. And I'm like, I don't know if I need to tell people I've also written an Ursula the Sea Witch musical.
Shut up.
Which is coming to Australia, I think.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, we're talking to a couple of Australian producers, so I'll let you know when it's here.
Is this like a scoop? Did we just get a scoop?
It's a scoop.
That's crazy. Well, you do have pipes, because like occasionally on your podcast, like you and your co-host Dane will like have a little moment. And I'm like, wait, Daniel can sing.
Hey.
Yeah.
I did in my last show, it was like I put songs in it. It was a show about like villains, and I was like, I've got to do some villain musical theatre songs because they're always the best songs, and I started putting them in. And then after a while, I was like, is this actually just like when the kid at school, you know, when you a kid, the annoying kid,
yeah,
me, but at school would like sing and someone would go, you've actually got quite a good voice. And then for like the rest of term, they're just like in the corner like, singing Corby Kaye's Tingle, whatever it's called.
Yeah, or they do like a really big sneeze and then they end it with like a full like trill. And I'm like, okay.
When you get the musical theatre kids together.
Stop.
And someone sings Happy Birthday and everyone's trying to fucking harmonise.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm the hip hip. I'm not like a harmonizer. So
nice.
I need to jump in. I'm always, because there's always one hip hipper, right?
Mm.
And have you ever had a showdown with another person on that?
Yeah, when you lock eyes. And you're like,
and you're like,
you take
it's
this from
me.
Me.
It's me.
It's obviously me. And I'm the performer.
Exactly. So I have to
you
get
think
in
you've
really
got this?
Quick. Yeah.
What if you get heckled? Good luck.
Do you get heckled at your shows?
Certainly not on my hour. That would be so bizarre.
That would be crazy.
You came and saw.
Well, I did.
And then, like, if that collection of lovely middle class mums. And like a few nervous queer people started fucking heckling me. The heckles that you get, yes, I do, but in like the worst way, arguably, which is where they are really nice.
Oh, okay.
And they're just joining in.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll be like you're trying to tell a story and they're like, no, wow, no way.
Yeah.
Then what? And you're like, you're ruining this, but I can't stop you.
Yeah.
Because then everyone will think I'm so horrible.
Can I admit something?
Yeah.
When I saw your show, it's called How Lovely at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. I was that person, but I held back because I was like, your stories were so relatable.
That's
everything you
nice.
Were saying was like, I've been there. Like, I know this. I've had friends go through it. And you'd say something and I would go, oh. And I'd be like, don't say it too loud though. Because I don't want to interrupt the flow.
I take it all back. I love it when people do.
Oh my God, great.
No, but like you want people like doing
that.
Yeah.
Because you take people on along the journey, which is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's, I'm trying to like make it, because it's about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like kind of keeps linking back to like rom-coms.
Yeah.
And then I try to structure it like a three act kind of like rom-com a little bit. So I want people to be like, oh, then this, and then the dip, and then the what, and the what. But like, there are some people who lean in so hard to that and just, it's like they are watching TV.
Yeah.
And they'll just shout out and be like, then what? And you're like, I am getting there. No. What actually happened is I left that gap because I'm about to do a punchline.
Yeah.
Janet, I don't need you to fill in the silence for me, but thank you so much.
It's called a callback, Janet.
It's called a callback, Jesus. Janet. You said that earlier. I know.
Yeah. First time on Earth, apparently. First time at a comedy show, maybe. But you've just revealed a little bit about your show. For anyone who doesn't know about it, you know, you sort of said like you kind of structured it around the rom-com, because you start off by being like, rom-coms have fucked my view of love.
Yeah. Well, I think like, and I sort of say in the show a bit, but like, I think some people are really sniffy about rom-coms and will be like, rom-coms are just chick flicks. Mm. And they think of it as like a lowbrow thing. But really, it is just narrative about relationships, right? And it's like, where do we get our concept of what love is? The modern idea of love as being like, you have one person and they provide everything for you.
Yeah.
is from rom-coms and like movies and romantic books and stuff. So it's kind of that thing of like the expectation that we're set up of what a relationship will provide and how it will go is like not what most of us actually get.
Yeah.
And I just went through like the biggest breakup of my life after like a 6-year relationship ending about a year ago, and having to kind of reemerge into my 30s now and be like, what does dating look like now, both in 2026, but also as a 30-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Diabolical.
It's changed a lot.
Yeah. And the people that are in relationships, I think dating has changed since lockdown and like 2020.
Yes.
So strangely. The general population has changed. And like anyone who was in a relationship before that point got the last helicopter out of Vietnam.
Yes.
And the rest of us are like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, literally like waving a little flag being
it's
like, please
crazy.
Rescue.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And like when I was last dating, when I was like 24, I was going on like a date a week.
Yeah.
And constantly
like a Sex in the City kind of vibe.
Yeah, and you'd meet up with friends and be like, who are you talking to right now? Yeah. And you'd show them like the three guys you were talking to. Now I meet up with like the most stunning 10 out of 10 friend. I'm like, who are we talking to right now? And we both laugh because obviously no one.
Yeah.
Obviously no one. Fuck. It's like big news now if it's like I'm actually texting somebody.
Yes. It's huge.
Crazy.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. So you've had like, what, say a year or so back into dating apps?
A year
apps.
And a half of being back on the dating apps.
Yeah. So we had the horrendous breakup.
Yeah.
Your life has shifted. It's post-COVID. What is it like for you right now on the apps? Like, tell me about it. Because Dee and I were talking about this and we were like, you know, we haven't been on the apps. Like, I haven't been on the apps for basically like a year and a bit, like basically a year.
Yeah.
And before that, embarrassingly, I put into it because I had a massive breakup too, right?
Yeah.
I had like a 5-6 year relationship, was literally just like ended that. And then I was like, time to figure out myself and like what's going on out there as well.
So were you like regularly dating during that period of actually trying?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
fuck.
It's different though, because I feel like as a woman, there's a different experience compared to, and especially as like
maybe.
A gay man. Like,
I mean, that is, it's I would a say. Uniquely bleak thing.
But, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm fine. Like, I've got the hottest female friends that can't get first dates in the UK.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so rare to match with someone now for me and for like a lot of the people I'm talking to where you even want to go on the first date. And I don't know if it's that we've all got more picky or if they, I think when I was last on the dating apps is when the dating apps first kind of appeared.
Yeah.
I was like 24, so that was like 8 years ago.
There was a sense of optimism.
Yes.
And I think with the internet in general as well, like social media even felt optimistic then. Now,
yes.
Hellscape.
Oh my God, hellscape. And the apps hadn't gone cynical yet.
Yeah.
They were in their Uber Eats, oh, your first three meals are free stage.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then since I've got back on them, they have locked the fuck down and monetized everything.
Yeah.
And their algorithm has gone haywire.
Yeah.
And they are like, oh, you can only match three people a day unless you're premium. So I think people are like holding back on their matches and like, it's just this. And then I think the social thing has changed and I'm in my 30s, which means that it's like, you're dealing with like the crumbs of who's left.
Yeah. There's a few things happening. Hey, it's all of that. It's you also having like the app burnout as well and being more guarded with your feelings and you're being more picky because of those experiences. So then it's like this secular thing.
And I am not willing now to meet someone who is not funny.
Right.
And I'm not willing to meet someone who's bad at the dating app or texting bit.
Yeah.
Like I had a friend recently who was like, oh, but you know, my boyfriend, Charlie, anonymous, my boyfriend, Charlie, he was really bad on the dating apps. He was just like one sentence at a time. But when we met up, it turned out he was just bad at phones and I really liked him in real life. So you should just meet them and see. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't want someone that's bad at texting.
Yeah.
I love when someone's good at texting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing's more fun than being like out and about and having like a little guy in your pocket to be like, blah, 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 and like have a funny little thing.
Yeah.
If they're a Neanderthal on the text, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like I am just looking, if they've got that they want to go for a hike and do a Sunday roast, I'm not matching with them.
Yeah.
If their only interesting fact is that sea otters hold hands so they don't drift apart, I'm not matching with them.
You're like, I've been here too damn long.
Yeah,
we
I've
can't
seen
be, we
the
can't
same
be dealing with that.
thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
Yeah.
They have to be original. They have to be funny.
And they got to cut through the noise.
Yeah, and there's only like 6 of those on the globe right now. Yeah. So you have to really filter through.
And you have to pay to get them.
And you've got to pay
to
get them.
They're in the hot jail. And yeah. You're like, God damn it.
And you're fighting every other past its sell-by date twink in London.
Isn't that the fuck thing, isn't it? It's like, I have a standard or an expectation and this is where I'm at and this is great and it's good that you know that about yourself. And then there are the people who are saying like, but you know, I gave this person a chance and now they're like the love of my life, and you're literally like, where do you draw that line? It is so hard.
And it's so hard when it's like, again, in the modern day, there's so much, like we're so used to texting and now voice noting is the thing.
Oh my God. And we voice noted before we came
here. I was about
to
say, we've started voice noting this morning. It's getting
we're
serious.
We're going steady.
but like you... get to, I recently had a guy break things off with me after like 3 months, and we'd only been on like a handful of dates because I've been touring, so I'm like not around a lot, but we were voice noting and like video messaging and video calling every day.
So intimate.
All throughout the day.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to then like end a thing, and it was not official or anything like that, and it's fine, but like it's weird to then, because you're telling friends about it and they're like, oh, but it was only like a handful of days. Like, it was like 4 dates, whatever. And you're like, yeah, but like the equivalent of 4 dates now is not the equivalent of our parents' 4 dates.
So true.
Their 4 dates, they only knew 4 dates worth of information about each other.
Yeah.
So they're like just getting on to like, what's your favorite color? Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, whereas like 4 dates across several months of voice noting and all that stuff, it's this weird middle ground where it's like, yeah, of course you don't know them that well because you've not physically met that many times, but at the same time you know so much about them.
Yeah,
we were like, well, I know what your sister felt about her first marriage or like whatever. Yeah, you like have all this intimacy with them. It's a really bizarre time that we live in.
And I think what you said before as well about the way that these dating apps kind of have locked down on things and they've gotten people used to their services, I guess, it kind of reminds me of like AI, right?
Yeah.
So right now AI is like largely free. Like you don't need to pay for it. You can get a premium version, but you don't need to pay for it. And at that point, this whole idea of like a subscription model where it gets people hooked and addicted to it and needing this thing. Yeah,
relying on it.
And then in a couple of years, we'll literally be like, how did I live without this?
Yes.
And at that point, then they start making you pay for it. And it's like, we are the product right now.
Yeah.
Like we're not paying for it. So like we're the product, which is so fucking scary.
It's the YouTube premium thing of when it was all easy breezy. And then they're like, here's 10 minute adverts for you to watch or pay us. And you're like, oh.
Makes me so angry thinking about it. And it's crazy. And it's the same thing has definitely happened to dating apps.
I am trying to get analog with it.
Yeah.
Which I've never done.
Yeah.
But I'm having to like learn how to.
We're going acoustic.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing the like, I was going to say the woodwind sessions. Like, yeah, I'm trying to, I'm joining some like little groups and like little clubs and stuff. And I'm going to start like joining like a tennis social and stuff to just like.
Yeah.
Try and meet people normally.
Yeah. And get maybe a hobby out of it too.
Yeah, maybe get a hobby out of it too. Who cares about that?
Who cares about that? We just want to meet like the hot tennis boys.
Yeah.
When you meet people and you're dating, do you tell them that you're a comedian? Like, is that... Because I feel like you probably don't want to say anything, right?
No.
People go weird about it.
It is gross as well. Like, like on both sides, I know some people who straight up are like, I'm a comedian. Or they have it on their actual bio. And I just think a bit like... And also, like, you want to, like, get people immediately to go and search you on Google and watch a clip of you?
Oh, my God.
But also, like, I don't want them having assumptions or knowing things about me more than I know about them before we go on a date. So, like, I don't want them to go and see what I'm saying. And also, what I'm saying on stage is me, like, class clowning it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a version of me.
Totally.
Meet me first, then you can go and watch me pretending to be, like, a middle-class mum. Yeah. Like, I hate it.
I really relate to this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
As someone who does a sex and dating show.
Yes, exactly. I was going to ask, did you, when you, did you used to tell people or did you spin it?
I would keep it kind of vague and be like, I work in like podcasting.
Yes.
But then obviously their follow-up question is like, what do you do? What's your podcast? And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
So then I get trapped into this thing and then I get like, I would get nervous that they would like look up immediately like who I am and listen to my like dating stories. Mm. In fact, my partner now, he literally met me after like this time last year I had just done our live show and I told this like insane story of like the worst date of my life, but it was so funny. And then he like, I remember messaging, I've still got his like WhatsApp message being like, so hopefully like you don't flame me like this in your podcast.
Oh, wow.
And I always used to say to people, I was like, I'll only talk about you if you do something fucked.
Yeah, if you're a villain.
Like if you're cooked, I'm going to talk about you.
Yeah, I'll give you what you deserve.
And that's on you. No, I feel like for you, like maybe people would try and like do bits or like, do you know what I mean? Like, can I just run this script by you? Like,
it's
fuck.
So bad. When they find out, like,
tell me about it.
I think for like all comedians, when they find out that you are that, you feel a tone shift, especially with men as well, of all sexualities, will do, and they will start doing their type five on you.
Yeah.
I had one that just kept sending all these voice notes being like, I've always thought the deal with this is that da da da. I'm like,
what? No.
I'm not an agent.
Yeah,
I'm not
like
signing
there's no
you.
Audience.
Yeah. I had one that was like, that's actually great to know because I've just started open mics and I could do with getting more reps in.
Oh my God. Unmatch block.
Unmatch
delete.
Block and try and get you blacklisted from the industry.
Literally.
Like, get the hell away from me.
That's fucking crazy.
Never. I would never. I am.
This is the same audacity of me being like, I could have been a singer. I could have gone pro. But these people going, I could have gone pro if I wasn't so shy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was thinking, since I've got you here and I haven't had a guest in the studio for such a long time, do you want to play Hookup Hot Take?
Yes.
Okay. So this is basically where we get our guests to bring in a very spicy take and I will vote and tell you if it is a hot take, a cold take, or an underbaked take. Like put it back in the oven, think about it a little bit
more.
Have
a bit more of a thought. Okay.
Yeah. So Daniel Fox.
Yes.
What is your hookup hot take?
All breakups should happen over text.
Whoa. Okay, wait. I wasn't expecting this.
Every breakup should be a text.
Why?
I don't care if it is a 7-year divorce. I don't care if it's just after one day. It should always be a text. The whole thing, the whole culture of being like, oh, you owe them it in person. You've spent this time together. You owe looking them in the eye. Take them out to that Italian restaurant. Sorry. You're going to break my heart over pasta.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like sobbing into my burrata. No, thank you. Surrounded by people that are like, is that man crying?
Yeah.
Give me a nice text while I'm home alone and I can cry into my Chianti.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's meet up.
And do the closure chat.
And do a closure chat, right?
Yeah.
But like initially, I divorce over text, take my children over text.
Every bad news you want to you want to be able to read it.
I want to read
in
it
your palm.
On my lovely iPhone that loves me.
Okay.
And I want to sit in the comfort of my own home and have my first cry there.
Yeah.
And then of course I want to meet up with you afterwards and debrief, but like give me the like respect to text me first.
I actually kind of see this. I kind of get it. But that initial shock and being able to process it in your own time makes a lot of sense.
But like we have been sold and it is still pushed. The thing of like, take them out. Do it in public.
A public thing is actually crazy because you're right.
Psychotic.
You don't want to have like some trauma bond with your burrata. And like you don't want to be triggered every time you go to like Pepe's Italian.
Right.
Like,
I don't need to be weeping about the end of what I thought was the love of my life while like an acne-ridden teenager hovers next to me being like, and did you want any more sides?
Yeah, did you want a tiramisu dessert?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah,
so I'll take three.
Do you want that? Like, what the hell? That's like a thing people do. And when you go on like Reddits about breakups, so many people are being taken out to restaurants to be broken up with or being taken to their like favorite place. Some of them being taken to like beautiful parks and beaches and like given one last walk around like a dog that's about to be put down.
About to be taken to the farm.
Yeah, and we have had messages into our podcast of girls that thought they were being proposed to.
Oh no.
But it was the breakup.
You're kidding.
They put on like a show. A lot of these men are like, they're even having them around, they're like laying out a lovely spread of dinner and they're like making their favorite wine, the music's playing, they take their hand and they're like, I think we should see other people.
Get fucked.
And the girls are like, wait, what? Sorry, what?
Do you think they put it in public in the same way that like a public proposal? Right. Which we all know is a bad idea, but people keep doing it and it keeps happening at Disney World. Stop. But like, do you think it's like a thing where it's like they think that you'll take it better and they won't feel as bad because they maybe go like you'll have some kind of like, oh, that's so horrible and I'm really upset, I'm going to go. So then they don't actually have to deal
like
with the emotion of it.
There's like a public pressure to keep it cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're trying to pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think some of them are trying to do that. Pressure it to be cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is why I think we have a moral obligation that if someone breaks up with you in public, you make a fucking scene.
What are we doing?
Screaming.
Are we throwing plates?
Flapping our hands, screaming at the waiter, making them pay, storm out before anything can be paid for, ordering so much, like taking their food, smashing plates for sure, flipping tables.
Yep.
I want like crying to the point of sick.
Yeah.
I want insanity if you're being broken up.
So you're saying there's not enough public meltdowns?
No, not nearly enough. We need to be punishing them.
Uh-huh.
They need to know that they cannot get away with breaking up with you in public.
I also think, let's add to this, put up the camera, record, just subtly.
Fully.
So then you can monetize it.
So you can go viral on TikTok.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow. We are so smart. That's a crazy good take. No, I actually stand by
it.
At first I was like, cold take. But now I'm like, no, hot. You've thought about it.
Yeah.
You've thought about it. You've got like a plan in place. And can I say as well, I think I said this once on this podcast. I got fired from a job in a cafe publicly. And it was just like such a bizarre choice of place to do that.
Why did they do it?
I cried.
Yeah, of course.
It was embarrassing.
Oh, of course. It's worse.
I was ashamed and it sucked. And I'm like, I get that now.
It's as worse as it could possibly get to do it to someone in a dining establishment.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. What are you doing? If you're going to do it in like, okay. If someone was to brutalize me in public, so they're sending me a text, they're like, hey, babe, let's meet up. Here's what's acceptable. Take me to a beautiful woodland.
Mm.
Break up with me in the woods. And then immediately pass me an iPod shuffle and some headphones with the saddest, most dramatic songs that you can put on.
Yep.
Pop them in my ears. Pass me some tissues and a rose quartz manifesting crystal.
Right.
And just get the fuck out of there and leave me to
just
drift
Homer
through
into
that woods.
The bench, the bushes.
And then I can just drift through that forest, weeping my eyes out like a lovelorn elf.
Sorry, can I just ask something? Are you a Twihard? Because this is Bella and Edward right here, except he didn't give her all of the tissues. He didn't give
her
the iPod.
He should have given her the iPod shuffle.
He should have given her...
because the soundtrack was playing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. This is literally Twilight.
Yeah.
Like she's in the forest and she's like...
I want to be in Forks.
Wailing and like walking around blindly because she can't see because of her tears.
Oh my God. The Kristen Stewart breakup of like having your sleeves like here and then sort of like nibbling a bit and just being like...
And that bit in like the second movie where it's literally doing like the panning shot and it's like that song, I don't know what it is, it's some really great indie folk song.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na, that's all it is.
But you could have been a singer.
Ah! Shut the fuck up. That is so funny. Okay, I love this. I'd also love to play a game with you, Chatterbox. I don't know if you've noticed this gorgeous little paper.
I couldn't stop looking at this. So in the UK, we call these fortune tellers.
Fortune tellers.
But there's also another word for them that I can't remember, but I love them.
Have you ever seen one with a dick, pussy, ass, and cum on it?
I haven't, but I'm really loving it.
Great.
And I can't wait to find out what this is.
So... let me explain. If it's been a while, you basically choose one of these pictures and then you're literally going to say, let's say you choose dick.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spell out D-I-C-K.
Yep.
You're going to choose a color in here. Then we're going to answer a question that is hidden, a secret question.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I made one of these not that long ago.
Really?
For a guy that I was sort of dating as like a fun sex thing. Where it had like different things in it that we could do. And then it was like, pick one. Da, 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 da,
can you give some examples?
Yeah, being like, oh, pick the number, pick the color, da, 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 da. But then inside it's like, and now I will deep throat your dick or whatever.
Was it hot?
Or like you can,
was it fun?
Hot and funny.
Yeah.
Cause it, and like, you'd like, I don't know. Fun, take it.
That is so good.
Go with God, like do that for yourself.
I think I have a spare one upstairs. We can it's like the backup in case I lose this one. But I worked so hard on these drawings.
They're really good.
Thank you so much. All right, I might need you to hold my microphone if that's okay. I'm gonna come over here. Not to you.
I'll speak into both.
All right, choose one.
I'm gonna choose butt.
B-U-T-T. Choose a color.
Blue.
There's two blues here. Light blue or dark blue?
Oh, dark blue.
Okay. Most taboo kink fetish fantasy you've ever had. Damn. I wrote this question like a long time ago.
Okay. What do...
It's quite personal, isn't it?
It's very deeply personal.
Do you want to do light blue instead?
Very invasive, actually. No, I'm gonna commit to this. I could totally get into like some like nerdy shit. I could so go for a guy like kicking the door in and being dressed as like one of the orcs from Lord of the Rings.
Okay, hot.
Like tusks. Bit of role play. Green paint. Yeah, role play, but like I don't want talking. Or maybe that's why I'm picking. I want like a character that would just like grunt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
An orc, a troll.
Yeah.
So like a barbarian, a Viking.
Yeah.
Like something. I find dirty talk so cringe.
Really, yeah.
I'm bad at it. I feel too ironic and British with it.
Yeah.
They're like, you like that? I'm like, thank you, yes.
Thanks.
But yeah, like something like that, or like Home Invader role play.
Ooh,
for sure.
Yeah.
I could do some of that.
Bit of like consensual, non-consensual kind of vibe.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, maybe something like that.
I love that. I love just someone to like have your way with you, consensually, of course.
Consensually, of course.
Do you want to do one more?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I'm going to get you to do that again. Pick a picture.
I'm going to go cum.
C-U-M.
Purple.
Purple. Gosh, these have really rubbed off over the years. Oh my God, I love this one. What's the most memorable sex dream you've ever had?
The first one I ever had.
Okay, take us back.
I must have been like 7 years old. Oh. I didn't really know what sex was.
Right.
But it was the first. It's also when I should have clocked that I'm gay. You know Disney's Hercules?
Yes.
You know when Zeus is a statue?
Mm-hmm.
I am the size of Hercules. I'm looking up at Zeus the statue, who is like the size of a skyscraper. He like comes to life, picks me up. And then just like puts me on his dick. I wake up like the horniest I've ever been in my entire life. Like I like wake up coming. I'm like, that is so. And ever since, maybe that's my favorite. Giant men.
I was gonna say,
that's like a thing, isn't
that's
it?
Yeah,
like a
I don't
macro,
know what the name of it.
Something.
Yeah, like I don't know what the name of it is, but like some kind of like giant, like Amazonian woman, kind of like, but a man.
Yeah, Amazonian man.
Yes. That's
yeah,
crazy.
So hot. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah,
I do. It was a giant daddy, but I was like, I didn't even know what like sex was, but I was just like, I know I liked that.
I'm so impressed that you remembered that from such a long time.
Burned into my memory.
No, they were really fun. That was really fun. Sorry for giving you like the most hectic question. I was like,
what's your deepest, darkest, innermost kink?
That is so crazy. I would have written these like a year
what's
ago
yours?
Like maybe something similar in terms of like the fantasy element of things.
I'm curious, actually, are any women into feet? I've never heard of it.
I've always heard of men being into feet.
Yeah,
men,
but
I've
like
never
feet.
I've never heard of a woman.
No.
Now that you say that, actually,
then like I don't particularly like feet, but like so many men do. I've never, no female friend of mine has ever been like, feet are my thing.
That's so true. I think we should research that for this show because it's very common. It's really, it's way more common than you think.
And it's like an actual.
Yeah, like your brain noodles are touching. That's like why.
There's something about.
There's some neuro something going on.
In the same
on.
Way that you'd react to like boobs. It's like crossed over into feet.
Yeah.
So does that just not happen to women? But then a lot of women love an arm, love a hand.
They love a veiny hand.
Yeah. Have you watched the new, the other Miss Bennet?
No.
Oh my God, it's so good. So you know Pride and Prejudice?
Yes.
Jane Bennet, the spinster from Pride and Prejudice. The BBC has just made this show called The Other Miss Bennet, and it's just focused on her and like her life, and it's great. But she like is hard for veiny arms.
Really?
And it keeps showing men like rolling up their sleeve, those like hot kind of Victorian sleeves, and she's like,
yeah. The veiny arm doesn't do it for me. No, I know it does for a lot of people.
Not really for me either.
And you know why I think, and this is gonna sound really fucked.
Why?
It's because my brother is really skinny and he has veiny arms.
Oh, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll put
so that's
off.
Like putting me off that.
Yeah.
But also just physiologically, I'm like, no. Things that do it for me, if a man is like a full carpet hairy chest, love that.
Oh,
love
a furry
it.
Guy.
Obsessed
does
with that.
Insane amounts for me.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I also love the smell of BO sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
Depending on like who it is, I guess. But I'm like,
yeah, well, that's so interesting.
Pheromones, you know?
Like how some people are such a turn off and others are a turn on for that. This isn't a kink, but it so could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a world where I didn't have a glow up as a teenager and stayed in like the weird group. And then went down a different path in my life.
Right.
And was like a professional fan fiction writer.
Got it.
There is a world where I'm a furry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Okay, so we're like cut from the same cloth, such like maybe kindred spirits in this.
Yeah.
I jokingly say I'm a non-practicing furry.
Yes, for sure.
I actually am.
Do I sometimes see art of a minotaur man or like a bear man that's like, you know, anthropomorphized and has like pecs and go, huh?
Would. Smash.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fully.
In your show, you actually mentioned a book that I hold very close to my heart.
Is it The Milking Farm?
It is The Milking Farm.
Oh, is it good?
Have you not read it?
No, I've been given it. I haven't read it yet.
Oh my God, it's literally so, it's horny.
Yeah, Minotaur man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And multiple women or one woman?
One woman.
Milking them.
One woman. But there's multiple, but she's like the protagonist and like, oh, it's fucking crazy.
There is a real lack, and I almost don't want to say this because I want to fill this gap. There is a huge lack of gay romanticism.
I have something to put you on.
Yeah.
Yeah, my gay best friend literally was like, you need to read this like pirate gay guy story.
Okay.
And it's like pirates and they like just fuck in the hull of a ship for like the whole thing. Yeah. I think he's like his prisoner or something at first, which
great.
I was like, oh,
which you
I,
know
love
I love
that. Yeah, 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 yeah. Of course. Like, you know, the enemies to lovers and also just like forced proximity.
Wonderful.
Fuck yes.
That's what I want. But there is, like, I tried to find some to watch,
really?
To listen to when I was like driving around for gigs and stuff. Like,
oh, audiobook. Do you listen to it or do you read it? Like, are you audiobook?
Either.
Okay, cool.
But like,
because
I'm driving a lot for gigs,
yeah,
there's
yeah,
like
yeah.
many hours in the car.
Got it.
Audiobooks. But like, there's not a lot. And there's certainly not a lot to the level that we've got like ACOTAR and like
oh,
Fourth Wing and like ones where it's like, these are wildly popular. If you yeah. want like gay men to be fucking in a
yeah.
fantasy setting and it be like focused on that, the options are small and they're often not good.
And they're just the dregs of like Amazon self-published authors who are
fully
dog shit.
Which is wild because were you ever a fanfic?
Yeah.
Girl, you're right. I learned how to have anal sex from Harry Potter fan fiction.
Shut up, really?
When I was like 13 years old.
So you first read it and you're like, I think I want to try it? Or you learned like technique?
I knew it existed, but
yeah.
like from the middle-aged women writing the novel length Harry / Draco fanfics that I was reading at like 13 years old, not supporting J.K. Rowling now, but like at the time, all the stuff about being like, he put one finger in, then he two,
yeah,
and stretched
yeah, yeah.
him, and then da, da, da. I was like, okay, like taking
yeah, yeah.
notes, listening to that,
and
being like,
and then what?
and then he cast the lubrication spell, okay.
Yes.
but like, yeah, like I definitely... Maybe that's why I have a healthier relationship to sex because I didn't learn it from porn. I learned it from like 51-year-old women
yeah.
writing like gentle sex between guys in their last year of Hogwarts.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But what's crazy is that almost most fan fiction is gay men, sex.
Mm-hmm.
But then into the professional space, it's like very few gay sex.
I think you need to fill this gap for sure.
All I want is that. And I want it to be like Beast Men.
Yeah.
I want the Minotaur.
Yeah.
I want the Milking Farm too.
We want high elves.
Yeah.
We want dark elves. We want everything.
Oh, you're a nerd. Love that.
We actually had a live show recently for Melbourne International Comedy Festival and we had a bunch of dilemmas sent in on the day, but also through DMs as well.
Love.
We didn't get through all of them, so I thought I could bring some to you.
Please.
And you could help us out.
Please.
Because you do this on your podcast, Welcome to Hell, where you kind of, you know, talk about your listener letters. These...
That's agony, aren't this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. These are... I hope you enjoy these. These are great. And we need to get to the bottom of them as
I'm
well.
Ready.
Okay. And they're all anonymous. So let's start off with this one. My partner and I have been open for a while and have been enjoying adding a third into our sex life. At first, it started with bringing people home who we met out clubbing, and then we tried some apps, which worked well too. But then we started hooking up with a friend of ours.
Oh.
They knew about our lifestyle and for a while would bring it up jokingly and also hint that they were kind of eager to join in and be our unicorn. So, as you guessed it, after a big night, shots, stumbling into afters, it happened. It was good at first and we did it a few more times, but now the thrill has worn off and we want to stop because, well, they're more into it than we are.
Oh, no.
They've started to sort of take over the session and lead, and they've introduced some of their kinks, which we're not super into. We cherish the friendship a lot and there's a lot of history and we completely recognize that this is our fault for bringing them into the throuple, but how do we transition them back into a platonic friend without sounding like we're kicking them out of the band?
You can't, I think. Oh God, the secondhand embarrassment I'm already feeling for that friend
yeah.
who's like getting into it
yeah.
and being like, now we're going to try this. And they've like wormed their way in. This is the one thing I think I couldn't do about like polyamory is the idea that the other two or more would start being like, how do you guys feel about Daniel? And like pulling away and
yeah.
you're having that not just from one person, but
yeah.
like a whole group.
The risk of bringing the friend in. I'm glad that they've realized that maybe that wasn't the move. And some people can do it successfully.
Yeah,
but
a friend though.
It's hard.
Like, I think you have to tell them you're closing the relationship.
Yeah.
And then conduct your openness in secret for a while.
Mm.
I think that's what it's that or cut them off fully.
Yeah.
They have to save some face.
Yeah. But also to ease that transition, maybe you try and find someone else in like your open polyamory community to be like, you can't have us, but what about these two? Oh my God.
Yes. Expand the relationship
right.
for a period for like, right, here's a 3-month action plan for you.
Yep.
You expand. You end up with some freaky like 6-way thing going on. Uh-huh. Get the biggest bed you can find. Get so many different people in, like a pushy mum. Getting your friend into all these different couples, being like, what if you insert into her? That'd be great. What if you gobble off him? And then like when they're like over there, when they're not looking, you go, oh, we've closed our relationship.
Mm.
We've closed.
Yeah.
We just need to like spend some time just a couple for a bit.
Yeah.
But you, oh my God, but you know Jennifer now.
Yeah.
So you're having a nice time in Jennifer and we're over here. And then give it like, even just I think 3 months, when you reopen, you can be like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do it with friends this time.
Yeah.
But you've settled back into being friends then. And forevermore, you can have like a fun, like winky vibe and mm-hmm. like maybe you'll get drunk and do it now and then. But,
yeah.
I think that's a really good idea.
I actually think you solved that.
I think well you solved done. That. Open it wider.
Get an empire going.
And then you can like just cut off your corner bit.
Just move
get
and
an
nudge
empire
people.
Going.
Yeah, get an empire of fucking and sucking.
Yeah.
Famously.
An empire of fucking and sucking.
Yeah. The title of your debut.
Title of my debut novel.
Yeah. So we've got another one here. Anonymous. I need advice for dealing with an insane mother.
Ooh.
For context, I've been with my partner for 4 years. I love him so much, but I'm seriously getting pushed to the edge dealing with her obsession with her son. At the start of the relationship, the mother was pleasant enough and I didn't pick up any signs of him being a mummy's boy. But as we got more serious, I started to see her true colors. Since then, it's been snide comments about my job, shady texts behind my back, trying to exclude me from family events. All the while, my partner doesn't know how to handle this because he says he doesn't want to hurt either of us. He does say he takes my side and he's called her out a few times.
Okay.
Which has resulted in being iced out, which is great for me because I get a break from her, then she eventually warms up to us and she treats me normally for a bit, but then slides back into old habits. What is the right call here? Because I'm so fucking over this.
Okay. Can I firstly say
mm-hmm.
that mother-in-law, so fucking glamorous. There's nothing, how chic, how old school to lean into being like the bitch mother-in-law. That's divine.
It is kind of fab. But I will say the mummy's boy thing, I've experienced it. Like I feel like I've met people and I know people who've really been coddled by their mum.
Mm.
And then the mother takes this really weird, like, close relationship with the son. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah,
well,
it's like, he's not going to fuck you.
Yeah, like, you can't fuck your son.
Some of them do. Some of them do.
I hope not, but I believe you.
I spoke to therapists who were like, you would be amazed.
Are you joking?
No.
That's fucked.
It's fucked. But like, that's what, like, I think on some level, some of these crazy mums, that's deep down. Or like the thing of being like, when they all wear white to the weddings, they're like, well, it's my wedding to my boy.
I stand for women's rights and I stand for women's wrongs.
Yeah.
But that is wrong.
It's so gross. The fact that he has stood up and he has been iced is very encouraging because early on you hear about so many of these guys where they take their mum's side. The thing of like, I don't want to hurt either of you. Hurt her.
Yeah.
Hurt your mother.
Yeah.
She needs it. She needs a slap on the wrist.
She needs boundaries.
She needs some fucking boundaries.
Yeah.
She also needs therapy.
Yes.
And
because she will turn up to the wedding in white.
She's going to turn up or in nothing at all.
Wait. What happened in the UK recently?
Victoria Beckham.
Victoria Beckham.
Like lap dancing her son at his wedding.
Twerking on his dick. That's crazy.
That will happen if you're not careful.
Yeah. The thing about this is and I see it on Reddit forums too, where people are like, where do my loyalties lie? Is it family by blood or is it like the new partner? It's a really hard thing for people to figure out.
But the answer is whoever's not being crazy.
Right.
Because you shouldn't have to be on a side. So whichever, because sometimes the girlfriend is weird about the family. That happens all the time. The partner is the weird one about your family. And then you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then they're in the wrong. Like they should be, it should be a mutual, it should be a nice thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about your parents. My parents are like delighted when I get into a relationship and like can't wait to meet them. And it's like, if someone's being ick about it, they're the freak.
Yeah.
So like take whoever's side is not doing, in fact, break up with whoever's not doing that. Obviously you can't break up with your mum, but like, she'd love it. But I don't know. I think like you need to sit down with your mother and be like, well, I guess you need to sit down with your boyfriend and get him to sit down with his mother to be like, what is going on?
I completely agree with you. I think like the person who is making a drama out of something that is a very normal thing, to have a relationship, to love someone for 4 years you've been dealing with this.
So long. Because I was going to say, oh, maybe she'll get used to, but if it's 4 years and it's getting worse, get over it.
Yeah, get over it.
Because you can get to, like, the mother, you can get to a point where you meet someone and you go, I wouldn't put this person with my child.
Yeah.
Fine. 4 years in.
Yeah.
Like, accept it. They're together.
Yeah.
Crazy to keep being like, unless maybe she thinks you were born under a worm moon. Maybe she thinks you're one of the worms.
She's worm. Because women, but can women be worms?
Yes.
Damn it.
Far fewer.
Great.
Far fewer female worms out there, I will say. The worm farm is vast majority men.
Thank you so much for coming on, Daniel.
Thank you for having me.
So great.
I've loved this.
Yeah, me too. It's been so nice meeting you and having you in the studio, especially because you've come all the way from London, not specifically for us.
For this podcast.
But I'll say it. Flew it was here. For us. Your show, How Lovely. Yes. It's still touring, right?
Touring all over the UK, possibly also Europe.
Yep.
By this point, I don't know, will be at some point, but like I will be touring.
Make sure you go and check out Daniel's socials. We'll put all of the links in the show notes, and your website and everything there. Dan, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight.
Yay!